Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, good evening. Welcome to the Big Blue Gangrene Power Hour. Jim and Eddie here with you. Eddie, good evening. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well. I'm feeling very powerful. I hope I can endure the whole hour, though. Let's see how the stamina does.
Your stamina will probably last a little longer than mine. As soon as I started talking, my voice started giving out already, which it's been doing all this week on me. But thank you, everybody, for being here. Giants and Jet fans, we'll get down to it in just a minute here. The NFL Today theme song opened us things up for us. 1982, I think that's the version of that I downloaded for our temporary theme song until Eddie can come up with something that's as good as our Blue Shirt Underground theme song.
Yeah, well, how are you feeling? Why don't you update everybody? Because, you know, some people only know us from the podcast realm and not on the Facebook. So
it's the NFL Today. When CBS had the NFC back in the 80s, that's what that theme song's from. You want the whole story very quickly?
Yes.
Okay. I'll do it as best as I can. Went out last Saturday night to a party. Didn't drink a lot, just a little. Came home, went to bed a couple hours later, woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning with maybe the worst nausea I've ever had in my entire life. Got up to go to the bathroom. I was standing there going to the bathroom, and the nausea just, like, overwhelmed me. And I fainted, passed out. 1 minute I'm standing there taking a piss. The next minute I am laying on the floor in my bathroom in between the toilet and the shower stall. I hit my arm and my shoulder and my elbow and my chest and my back falling because I fell into the door of the shower stall. Got back into bed. My wife got out of bed, and I basically crawled back into bed because I was just so nauseous. And, oh, my God, I was sweating and burning up. I don't know what was going on. Crawled into bed, fell asleep. Woke up about 6 o'clock in the morning, got up, went out late on the couch for a while, and then I decided about 12 o'clock to go to the ER, get my shoulder looked at. I went in, I told them what happened, and they immediately started treating it as though I'd had some kind of heart episode, I guess you could call it. Within five to 10 minutes of me signing into the hospital, I'm in the back of the ER, laying in a bed with the oxygen in my nose, and they're starting to hook up all the monitors to me. It was kind of scary, to be honest with you, because that had never even crossed my mind until all this shit started going on. So they ran all kinds of blood tests and an X-ray and a CT scan. They couldn't find anything wrong with me. The only thing they found was something in my bloodstream. There were enzymes in my bloodstream that indicated that I had had some kind of heart strain that could have come from the nausea. It could have come from when I fainted. It could have come from me just bashing my body into the shower stall. But anyway, they sent me home Monday afternoon, but I was out of work most of the week because I just wasn't feeling good. Today was the best I felt all week. So I went back to work yesterday, and today I felt pretty good for the most part, but now I see my... as soon as we got on the air and I started talking, my voice started giving out. And now I'm not going to make a big deal out of this. I'm just going to tell you to tell you. But since I left the hospital Monday afternoon, now that's 4 days ago, I have had a total of which is pretty good for me.
I missed that last part. You cut out there. What did you say?
I've only had 3 cigarettes since I left the hospital on Monday afternoon.
Oh, well, that's very good, man.
Yeah, so I am making a concerted effort. I'm allowing myself one cigarette a day. So, just battling through the nicotine withdrawals. I'm having some very strange dreams at night, which is part of, that's one of the symptoms of nicotine withdrawal. But anyway, so yeah, that's my life right now. And but all is well. Thank you for all the well wishes on Facebook. Glad you guys are here with us tonight. We've got the first place Jets and the last place Giants. Who'd have thunk it?
Well, let's not get crazy.
I'm giving you your props. Take them. I don't give the Jets props very often.
Oh, well, you better learn to. This team is a team to be reckoned with.
Yeah. It's destiny. It's got destiny written all over it.
Well, it takes us 9-7 to win the Super Bowl, as we all know.
Yeah, if that's all it takes, how come the Jets never did it with all those 9-7s?
This is the future. This is Rex Ryan, baby. So before I give you more heart strength, let me say that I am in agreement with you that let's not get too excited. It was the Buffalo Bills if you're a Jet fan. Ryan Fitzpatrick is a horror show. But you've got to look at this. The Bills were a team that some people were predicting to be a lot better. They certainly weren't against the Jets. Jets who were completely awful in preseason, didn't look like they were going to be able to score, were able to score. And as I've explained to several people during the week, and I'm not saying this as a skew towards the Giants, a glorious Super Bowl win, but you're really looking to get to 9 or 10 wins to get into the playoffs. And if you got to play the Bills twice, you better beat the Bills twice. And they did. And, you know, you're talking about 8 more games against, you need to probably sniff the playoffs. You got one down. You got to play the Dolphins twice, who don't look good. So all these wins, they count. They're, you know, Giant fans should know, that they all count in the end. So I'm not too high. But I'm also, as a Jet fan, I'm not too low as maybe I was before the season started. Because a lot of good signs there. Again, it's the Buffalo Bills, but I thought the offensive line looked good. The defense worried me a little bit. They gave a lot of yards on the run. They gave a lot of garbage touchdowns, too. But for the most part, it was okay. It was an okay win for the Jets. They're going to have a tougher time, obviously, with the Steelers this week. Will be more of a measuring stick.
Pittsburgh on is that the Sunday late game on Sunday? I didn't study the schedule too hard.
The Jetsies are playing at
it's the late game on Sunday.
Yeah, they're playing at 4:25. This kickoff time.
Yeah, they've moved the late kickoffs. And the Giants will take on the Bucks at 1. Obviously a very disappointing performance by the Giants. I'm not blaming, as some Giant fans have done and are still doing, I'm not blaming the referees. There was it almost seems like the more a team talks about not having a championship hangover, the more hungover they are, it was all you heard out of the Giants. You know, no hangover, we know how we missed an opportunity in 2008 with the whole Plaxico Burress thing that went down, that whole bit. We're a different. It's going to be different this time around. And you know, for about the first 10 minutes of that game, it was different. And then after that, it wasn't different. And, you know, they showed all the signs. They looked like, whereas most people thought they were going to look like the team that finished the last 6 weeks of last season, they looked like the team from the first 10 weeks of last season. A team that couldn't stop the pass to save their life. A team that gave up way too many third down conversions. A team that couldn't run the ball. On a few occasions, a team that couldn't catch the ball. So a lot of a lot of bad things happened in that game. The Giants deserved to lose. And Dallas had 16 penalties in that game and still found a way to beat the Giants. So, you know, you could talk about the replacement refs all you want. Yeah, that was a bad call. There was holding on Cruz in the end zone. But you know what? The refs didn't make the Giants drop 8 passes. The refs didn't let the refs didn't make the Cowboys convert a third and 20. What was it? Third and 30 or first and 30? The refs had nothing to do with that. The Giants earned that loss and they lost. You know, it's not one of those games where they deserved a better fate because they didn't. So
well, it looked like Dallas was killing themselves with the false starts and. And you certainly have a point about the Victor Cruz. He was certainly held. But, you know, the thing is, I don't know if that's called, if the regular refs are in or not. I suppose it would have been. My thing was, you know, as an outsider, really, was the lack of a running game by the Giants. They just couldn't run the ball. I mean, that and the fact that their defensive backs and safeties got chewed up.
Yeah. Especially their best one, Corey Webster, the guy, the one you think is going to be the reliable one, and you figure the other guys are the weak links, you know. Well, C-Web got burnt worse than anybody. Excuse me. So.
Yeah. So I mean, that certainly was a problem for the Giants. They still were kind of in the game. Especially when Witten took that stupid penalty. Well, he took a penalty at the end of the game, towards the end of the game. But then, is that when Dallas converted after that?
Yeah, I think so.
That was the backbreaker for the Giants. You know, I gotta say, you know, for 1 week I look like a genius, which is you know,
you
that's
happened. Like
to... Wow, thank you, but. Usually only lasts a week. So, because I was saying, well, Victor Cruz, watch him, his sophomore slump.
Yep. Victor Borga.
Yeah, who knows?
Victor Bono.
Listen, I see, there's a reason why I like you as a Giant fan, because if the team screws up, the guy screws up, you can get the comedy. A lot of these people don't want to go the comedy route when their players suck.
Right.
Like, I, you know. As soon as the Jets lose the Steelers this week, I'll be back to making fun of them.
Well,
but
you
right
know, that was the funny part. You know, I'm on Twitter a lot. And, you know, during the Jet game, I was sitting watching the Jets, and you know, I was being objective. I wasn't just busted. And Sanchez throws that interception early in the game, which, by the way, terrible pass, but bad call. Guy did not have both feet in bounds, and the Jets got the raw deal on the call. But they went out. I think Revis picked off Fitzpatrick two plays later. So they really it didn't hurt him much. But and Twitter just blows up on Sanchez. Same old Sanchez. Sanchez sucks. This guy's terrible. Bring in Tebow. Sanchez this. Sanchez that. I mean, you know, I'm no Jet fan, but and I'm no big Mark Sanchez apologist, but. I've watched enough football to know the Jets have had far worse quarterbacks than Mark Sanchez.
That's right.
I mean, far worse.
Be careful what you wish for.
I mean, come on. So then, right, you know, 2 minutes later, Jets get the ball back, touchdown, and it's Sanchez is the best. This is why preseason doesn't mean anything. It's the Sanchez, baby. So I tweeted, Twitter just got whiplash from the Jet fans on turning back on Mark Sanchez. Why do you care? You're a Giants fan. Why do you always have to pick on the Jets? Hey, well, I'm only calling it like I see it. Really?
Yeah.
Well, so I'm telling you. You said Giant fans are reactionary.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You guys have at least seen some rings, some joy. Over there, they're bipolar. I mean, first of all, the game starts in a ridiculous Rex Ryan fashion. He's got Sanchez at quarterback and Tebow out as a receiver. Then the second play, he's got Tebow at quarterback and Sanchez out as a receiver. That's all I want to see is Mark Sanchez out there throwing blocks against defensive backs in the second play of the season.
Well,
I'm like,
yeah, I mean,
I was just like, let the buffoonery commence.
I mean, as not so much, not even just as a fan, but how, like, if I ever saw the Giants bring David Carr or whoever in and line up Eli Manning out at wide receiver, I'd be scared shitless. I mean, Mark Sanchez, the man's got his flaws, but he's still your franchise quarterback. He's still the guy that gives you the best chance to win. You really want to be sending him out there running a post pattern in a wildcat?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, there's chicanery and there's stupidity, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was going to say, this is, I was just like, dude, it's so stupid. Either have Tebow in there as a runner. Why do you have to put Sanchez out at quarterback? I mean, he's supposed to be only in there as the wildcat. So I was saying, here, welcome. I almost felt like you ended up playing the Ringling Brothers music. And I know you want to excite the announcers, your favorite there, Bob Wasusian and Wasusian, Marty Lyons. They were like, well, he's trying to get the fans excited. I'm like, it's game one. If they're not excited for a new season, that's first possession, they're never going to be excited. What are they going to go with this nonsense to get the fans into it?
What were they afraid? The fat fireman wasn't going to be excited?
I hate that guy.
I do, too.
I'm a Jet fan, but I really dislike that fireman. Fred, whatever his name is. Oh,
one day last year, I posted on Twitter during a Jet game. I said, do you think all the other firemen that he works with get mad because he gets every Sunday off? Oh, I think he's retired. Why don't you leave him alone?
Yeah, something like retired.
You are
more
a
like
very
retarded.
You are a very sensitive lot, your fan base. I don't know if Jet fans are worse than Met fans. I think it's close.
I think it's gotten to be that way in sports. This is something that never really occurred, really. I think really before the internet was in full swing. But now people's sensibilities are so crushed when they get into a war between their teams. And the New York teams, it's really gotten bad. Except in hockey, really, the Rangers and the Devils, I guess, are the fans. But either team, the rivals of the Rangers, really don't have any fans. I mean, the tri-state rivals don't have any fans. But it seems in the last 10 years or so, the Mets and Yankee fans go at it. But I really, and this goes for all of NFL football, it is crazy time out there with people and their teams. I mean, people go psycho. I'm afraid to go to a bar with a Jet jersey on because you don't know who you're going to meet. You know, they're like, Jets suck. And then, what do? Okay, guy, they suck. People get real visceral about their teams, and the Jet-Giant thing is really revving up. I mean, listen, I like to throw the bus. But see, in the old days, you always had like a brother or a dumb cousin who rooted for like the Cowboys or like the other team. Yeah, you harass them. Aha, how about your Giants or how about your Jets? And you exchange quips, and then that was it. But now people want to get crazy. They want to go medieval on your ass now.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why we have this show. So. Let me ask you this, Giant fans. Was David Wilson really crying or not? And does it matter?
I don't think he was crying. Whatever. I got bigger problems to worry about than whether or not Wilson Phillips is crying on the sidelines.
Oh, well, that's who was it? Your friend there, Justin, was telling me how great this guy is at Zaba.
Well, I mean, look, first-round pick, very hyped, second carries, and then he's never heard from again after he puts the ball on the ground. So, let's see if he learns his lesson. They had him, he's got to do the tiki-tuck this week with the ball. They had him doing it in practice all week. Live it, learn it, and use it. as they say. You know, you got to get that ball up high and tight. So we'll see. He'll get his chance on Sunday again.
He didn't fumble much in college, so I don't. It's kind of an aberration.
Only his senior year.
Oh.
His senior year, he developed a bit of a fumbling problem, which means that it's technique. I mean, that's what it tells me.
Didn't Tiki Barber have a fumbling problem and he corrected it?
Yeah. Coughlin was.
See? So he's got the right man.
Tom Coughlin saved Tiki Barber's career, and all the thanks he got was Tiki just bashing him constantly after Tiki walked away, after he quit mid-season or announced his retirement in mid-season. Became a complete distraction in the locker room, and then all he did was badmouth Coughlin after he left.
Didn't he cheat on his wife, too?
He cheated on his wife. He can rot in hell for all I care.
Yeah, he turned out to be a bad person. Who would have thought? With a guy named Tiki.
So if you guys want to call in, 646-478-4692 is the number. We'll talk about the Giants, we'll talk about the Jets, talk about the games this weekend. If you want to vent on the loss to the Cowboys, if you want to praise the Jets for their big win over the Bills, whatever you want to talk about, we are here for you. Since our roots are in hockey, I will just throw this out there. I guess we are what? A little more than 24 hours away from a lockout, Eddie.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Tomorrow night, so we are 20, I guess that's midnight Eastern time, so we're probably about 25 hours, 26 hours from a lockout. And, I kind of thought about it today and said to myself, you know what, if there's no hockey, call me when it's back. I'll go do other things. And when hockey comes back, I'll be there. I'm not going to be one of these people, I miss hockey. What am I going to do without hockey?
People got to stop posting that on Facebook.
You know what?
All these petitions and all this stuff, stop.
I mean, you know.
They're going to do what they're going
to
do.
And I hate to break this off into in a hockey talk, but did you hear Paul, what's his name, from the Coyotes? Bissonnette? Paul Bissonnette?
Uh-huh.
Did you hear? You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I don't know.
He posted something on Twitter that wasn't real well received regarding. It was taken as pretty much. It was pretty greedy what he said. Now I don't remember exactly. This is what he put out there a couple of days ago. Question to the fans: if a company you worked for was making money and they asked you to take a 24% pay cut, would you do it? And I think, you know, of course, the fans' argument was, you know, most of us aren't making millions of dollars a year. You know, where a 24% pay cut, does that really, how much does that hurt a hockey player's way of life as opposed to how it might hurt your way of life or my way of life or Howie's way of life or Tracy's way of life or Costa's way of life? 24% of his customers down to tubes.
Oh, so, Tracy is typing in some crazy language.
Yes. I don't know what that
is. Maybe a cat ran over a keyboard. I don't know what's going on over there. Edwin Nunes just is pitching.
Apparently, and the fans, I guess, got on him pretty hard. And this was the other thing he said. Fans, the players understand your frustration, but at the end of the day, we are fighting for our futures, not yours. And that was the other thing that pissed the fans off, because who pays for their futures?
We do.
We do. When you buy a jersey and you buy a ticket, you buy, you know, everything else, you buy NHL 13, all that shit you buy, that money gets to them eventually, or gets to the owners, and then it gets to them. So that's my rant on hockey. When they come back, let me know. Until then, the hell with all of
them. I'll let you know. You want to know? It's not
Thanksgiving.
This year. It's not.
You don't think
so?
You don't think we're having a season?
No, I don't. No, I mean in this calendar year. I think it's 2013.
Oh, okay. You think? What do you think? The Winter Classic kicks off the season?
Yeah, I think it'll be. It'll certainly. Was it? Yeah, I think right around then. That's when they come back. Because I mean, I know I don't want to derail the show, but let's face it, it's our show. We can talk about whatever we want.
And everybody that's here is a hockey fan anyway, so we're not hurting
right.
anyone. You know,
unless
we're not
you guess
upsetting
don't
new
want
people.
But they don't want to compete against baseball in October. I mean, baseball and football are going to be October and November. They're going to wait till, you know, predominantly everything else is gone except for football. They're not going to try to compete with the World Series and the playoffs. They might as well just sit home. And I think that's what they're going to do. I think they're just going to wait. They're going to wait till 2013. That's when you're going to see hockey again. And you know what? The season needs to be a little bit shorter.
Well, I've said that all along.
I think
you play, when they play, October, November, December, January, February, March, April, you play 7 months of a regular season, and then you have to play 2 months of a playoff to decide.
Exactly.
There's no other sport that does that. And I just
they only play 82 games.
Right. It's too much.
I think
you could get by with a 65 to 70 game season, and then but see the owners will never go for it. That's the other problem. You're talking six home dates lost from revenue.
Well, you know what it is too, and you're right on that for sure. It's frustrating. It's tough not to side with the players when that guy Bissonnette says something like that. That's really stupid.
And I know he doesn't speak for all the players. I know there are players that do genuinely, you know, feel bad and you know, I think they keep things a little more in perspective as far as how much money they have and how much, you know, compared to what we have. This is three work stoppages for this league in the
that's
last,
the shame.
What, 16 years, right?
That's just such a, I don't know. To me, that sounds like a lot of people not knowing what the hell's going on with their business. That seems like the owners are continually... Bettman comes out and says how solvent this league is and this hockey, great sport of hockey and this and that. And I don't think, I've said this all along, I think the NHL, there's a lot of teams that's built on a house of cards. And every time they go into these negotiations, I think that's more evident that they have to ask these players. And you have these owners, they go out and spend all this money. We said this too. Right before this whole lockout talk was starting to get some play, was they're spending all kinds of money on players, and then they turn around and then they want to shut the players out. There's something fishy. And, you know, I'm all for the Gary Bettman's a dick and he's an asshole and all that and everybody. The bottom line is the guy is a bad commissioner. No one likes him, Jim. I mean, I've never seen a guy so vilified. I think I told the story. The only time I could see this guy get as many boos, the last time I saw it is when Ed Koch used to be at Shea Stadium. And he would stand up and he'd go, "How am I doing?" And everybody would boo. And he stood there smiling. This is what Bettman does, the same thing. Every event, booed. I mean,
Giuliani used to get booed pretty heavily at Shea Stadium, too. Whatever he'd show up, whatever he'd remember that there were two baseball teams in New York.
Oh, wow. I could see that. He got booed at Yankee Stadium, too, though? Or just at Shea?
No, Rudy got booed at Shea because he was such a staunch Yankee, an unapologetic Yankee fan.
Yeah.
Because he always made that joke after 9/11 when he went to Shea Stadium when the Mets played the first game back against Atlanta, and he was there, and they cheered him. They cheered Rudy. And he said, "I'll know things are back to normal around here when I walk into Shea Stadium and start getting booed again."
Yeah. So, I don't know. You know, people, it just doesn't seem the sport of hockey is advancing. But the owners love them. Why, I don't know. They love them because they can get rid of them.
He's putting money in their pockets. lots of money in their pockets.
And, you know, I know the players make outrageous money, and, you know, in all sports, but really, think about all the money, the revenue that must come in from the hats and all that stuff. Those players have a specific skill that, you know, few people have. So I'm not, you know, if people are going to pay to see it and pay to buy the merchandise and the whole nine, they deserve their, you know, their equal share. And if, somebody said 24%, and I don't know, what did they ever settle that free agent thing where it was going to be 10 years, you had to be a restricted free agent, you couldn't move? I don't know. It's just,
yeah, I don't even know if that's part of the new, if that was part of the latest proposal. I just know that at some point that was on the table.
Yeah, so that's with that whole thing. I guess we get back to the football. I mean, there's some other hockey things I want to talk about. I guess we can talk about it. What the hell? What about this Michael Delzato situation? So say they're saying he's got to come to his senses on that dog walk. Did you see that video?
I didn't watch the video. I heard about it.
Somebody walked Sather. Somebody was walking Sather. He didn't know where he was. Delzato had it by a leash.
Glenn had one of those wee-wee pads on, and it's like an old
housebreaking wee-wee
schnauzer. Yeah, housebreaking wee-wee pads. That's what I was trying to think of.
Puppy City.
Petland discounts.
That and Puppy City, I think that was Puppy City.
Oh, man. Yeah, and now I don't know if it's true, but I guess Delzato had to be signed by 5 o'clock tonight.
Yeah,
that's what I heard. I don't know if that was true, though.
Yeah, I don't know if that's... That was going around the internet today. Listen, I can't understand a 22-year-old guy who had one good year, looking for a big payday. Calm down, Chief. Play a couple seasons, then you deserve good money. You still got a lot to learn on the defensive side of the game, too.
Yeah.
So I'm a little down on that. I'm a little down on him. And what else? What else we got? Okay. So now I'm back to the Jets and the Giants. Now, the Giants, they're playing Tampa. From what I watched a little bit of the Tampa game, I think Tampa is a little bit improved from last year. I think Marsh is their offensive coach right now. Mike Marsh. He was last year, I think, too. But
Marsh is with the Bucks as their coach, offensive.
Maybe I'm wrong. I could be talking about him.
I thought he was in Chicago.
Oh yeah, you're right. Get mixed up with last night's game. I think it's going to be a tough game for the Giants. I think it is. I really like the direction Tampa's going with. And this Josh Freeman, it's going to be tough. But, you know, the Giants, you know, I give my props to Tom Coughlin. He certainly knows how to get the best out of his players. And maybe that, you know, what are you looking for the Giants to do in this game to secure a victory?
Got to run the ball. I know this Kevin Gilbride offense is pass first, but they got to run the ball. And they got to get the pass rush going from the defensive ends. The only two sacks in the Dallas game were from Rocky Bernard and Linval Joseph, the defensive tackles. What about the $60 million they're spending on defensive ends? Let's see them in there too, cuz they got to get that pass rush going. This guy Freeman, Josh Freeman, he can move around, so they're going to have to chase him down. They're going to have to find ways to get to him.
Wasn't that Rocky Bernard sack? That was early on, too. It was in the first quarter, that
yeah,
sack.
Yeah.
So, I remember when last week when we were talking, Aaron was like, we got this, we own Dallas and this and that. But it had to hurt Giant fans to lose Dallas. I mean, I got to tell you, from the knowledge that I gained from that was that, first of all, this DeMarcus Murray, he looks like he's the real deal. He looks, I mean, it's one game. DeMarco Murray, rather. He looks pretty good. And those two defensive backs they got in the offseason, or one of them, I don't know if they, you know, I'm not a student of the Cowboys, but they look to be pretty formidable. And, you know, Romo to me is always going to be the same. He's going to throw for 300 yards. He's going to throw for two touchdowns. But you're always, he's going to implode somewhere down the line in the clutch. So, you know, any praise he gets, I always kind of just, they're just talking. Everybody knows somewhere down the line the guy's going to implode. But the other thing with this Ogletree. What? This guy, I listened to Dallas radio after the game because I was trying to get sound bites from the game. And they didn't do any. But they were talking about him like, oh, what a find. Especially if Miles Austin goes down, we've got this guy. And I'm like, put it back in your pants. It's one game. Stop with Ogie Oglethorpe. Lucky it wasn't a call-in show, I would have pranked it. You know how we like to do that.
Speaking of, I got a real quick funny story for you. Sunday afternoon, right, I get to the hospital, and, you know, they run through the tests, and at about 2, 3 o'clock our time, they tell me that I'm going to be spending the night. They're going to take me upstairs to a room in the heart unit. I said, okay, fine. Wheel me upstairs, get this nice private room. I said, you know, I'm going to put the TV on. They hand me the remote, get this, right? So I flip the TV on, got this nice 32-inch TV. And, of course, the only game that's on is the Cardinals game. Cardinals Seahawks on Fox. Guess who's announcing the game?
I saw it. Sam Rosen.
Sam Rosen, baby. With Heath Evans.
I don't even know who Heath Evans is.
He was a fullback. He was with he just retired, getting into broadcasting. I think he was with the Saints. I know he was with the Seahawks, and he might have been with the Patriots too. But this is his first game as a broadcaster, and he's working with Sam. And he comes back from commercial, and Sam says something to the effect of, "We're back here in Seattle, and the score is Seahawks." Oh no, wait. We're in Arizona.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God.
This guy, Heath Evans, got to be sitting there thinking, what the fuck did I pick off?
Look at this putt they put me with. This big, see his schnoz? It's getting bigger.
What they ought to do is they ought to put Sam Rosen and Dick Stockton together. That would be like listening to those two judges from the Muppets. There's a great website out there. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's called awfulannouncing.com.
Oh, really? I got to check it out.
Oh, it's great. They don't do much for hockey. As a matter of fact, I even reached out to them once to come on the show with us one night maybe and just, you know, talk about the hockey announcers. But they don't really do much about hockey. But every week – they keep a running list of Dick Stockton mistakes. It's
oh, wow.
That is a great website. It really is. So,
yeah,
anyway,
I'm a stickler for that. No, I couldn't believe it. I was like, Sam, you know. And when I heard his voice, I wasn't like, oh, I miss hockey. I was just like, change the channel. No, that was Arizona and who?
Seattle.
Oh, that was a bond burn.
It wasn't a bad game. It came
finished,
down to the end.
Yeah, it finished good, but it didn't start off well, I remember. Also, because I had Marshawn Lynch as my fantasy running back, along with your boy, Ahmad Bradshaw.
Yeah, it was terrible. Now, speaking of awful announcing, we're all over the place here tonight. Did you see the video of Francesa falling asleep?
Yes, I did.
Mr. Wildheart Cunt himself.
Oh, God. You should play that clip. We should try to play that clip.
The one of him falling asleep, or the
wild heart, the wild card.
Where is it? Oh, I thought I had it here. That's my stalling music.
You want some out of breath? Now you're serenading us.
Yeah, I know, right?
Titans over the Buccaneers. They stay in the wild card hunt. Chris Johnson had finally had a good game rushing. He had
that never gets old. I love that.
Game Titans over the Buccaneers. They stay in the wild card hunt.
Oh my god! That is such. That puts a bad. Oh, that's bad. And
I heard his excuse. His son had asthma. Yeah. He was up late. Big deal. You know what? Everybody's got kids that kind of stay up late. They get sick. Get over it. Fell asleep. Just admit it. Man up. Yeah, I fell asleep. I was nodding off.
Sack up, Fat Sessa.
What do you always say? Put your big boy pants on.
Put your big boy pants on. I know Sweeney Murdy is not the most engaging guy to talk to, but it is your job. Thank God he's not working at traffic control. That fat lesbian.
Billie Jean King.
Billie Jean Queen. Asshole.
Oh, Costa's on hold whenever you want to talk to him.
He's going to be all about how the Jets have got you're going to base it on the Bills. Hey, put him on. Let's see what he's doing.
Hold on. Let me pull up his theme music. Ladies and gentlemen, Costa the Crazy Greek. Costa, how are you?
I actually quit that job.
Oh, Jesus. Wait. You quit already?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, then.
Oh, the humanity.
Why'd you quit already? You're like Newman.
You know what the problem was? You know how much money I was spending on gas a day?
Oh, I can imagine. I thought you were riding a bike.
Yeah. I bought a bike once and I was sucking wind after 3 days.
And you ride a bike and eat cheesecake at the same time.
Well, yeah, I can see it. You gotta
spend it on gas. Seriously.
Yeah, you gotta have like an economy car or something like that.
I had a fortune in the car.
What are you doing? Getting that high test? Filling up with that high test?
High test? I haven't heard that expression in years.
Yeah, high test.
High test. Oh God.
All right, so, Costa, what was your take on the Giants and Jets? I want to hear it.
That's one game. Calm down. It's one game. If either team goes 0-2 after week two, then start panicking a little bit.
I guarantee the Jets won't be going 0-2.
Neither will the Giants. Neither will the Giants. They'll be 1-1 after week two.
You just guaranteed.
Yep.
I've got it on the air.
Here we go.
Well, what did you think was wrong with the Giants in last week's game? What do you think needs to be corrected?
The secondary sucked.
They were bad.
Horrible. It blew dog.
Yeah, I think they did blow dog in that game. Well,
Jets, you're dealing with a guy from Harvard. You go to Harvard for brains, not for jocks. Okay.
Well, the Jets are going to be without Darrell Revis this week. That's big time.
And the Steelers are going to be pissed off, too.
So it may not bode well for my Jets, but it'll be a good barometer to see where everything is. If they're as bad as people are riding that win over the Bills. You want to talk about a team that looked the worst out of all teams last week? It was the Bills. They look like they should just pack it up. I mean, they were terrible. But
yeah.
it's only one week, like you said. Look what happened at last night's game. Everybody's all Bears are going to roll over Green Bay. Green Bay, no defense, this and that. And the Green Bay defense was all over the Bears. Made Jay Cutler eat his words. You know, there's a guy I can't really like. He's a guy with a big mouth who's never done anything.
He's got all the talent in the world, but he's a baby. He's a fucking baby.
You see him yelling at his teammates?
Yeah.
And he's another guy. He throws the ball when he should hold on to it. He throws too many interceptions.
No, because he goes for the long pass every time.
Yeah, well, he's another one.
He has the arm. I mean, he has the arm. He has the feet, but he's a fucking baby. It's his problem. He's a baby.
Yeah, well, you know.
Hey, Jim.
What?
How much is a ticket to a Cardinals game, Arizona Cardinals game?
Well, you know, it's funny. Is my boss is a Seahawks fan.
Yeah.
And he started looking last week. Hold on. Let me just. And he was looking for tickets for the game.
Yeah.
And he was looking on Craigslist, and they were like. About $200 for a pair downstairs, maybe on like the 40-yard line. And I asked him if he'd check StubHub. And he said, no, actually, I've never been on there. So I ran back to my desk and checked StubHub. You could have gotten tickets for that game if you just wanted to go and didn't really care where you were sitting. You could have gotten tickets upstairs, up in one of the corners, for $18 on StubHub.
Wow.
Do they have PSL there or no?
No. Just keep talking.
why? No PSLs, huh?
Read the message I just sent you.
I can't see it. Where am I?
I said it to Costa first.
I didn't see it.
I
don't got anything
right
up.
That's why here in New York, you know, fuck these motherfuckers. The amount of money you spend on fucking PSLs, you could take your basement, make it a nice basement with a big screen TV with surround sound, make it your friggin' sports room. And you watch sports there for the amount you spend on PSL. Come on. Really. The friggin'
yeah.
Listen
up. You know, I only go when, you know, when the Giants come out here, I go because it's nice to, you know, I go with my friends and it's nice to go and there's a lot of Giant fans there and it's nice to be around them because I don't get to do it that often anymore. But, you know, other than that, I would never go to a game there. But you're right. The at-home experience has gotten so much better. Why are they laughing at me? Stop laughing at me. It's less of an enticement to go to the game.
When you went to the Cardinals-Giants games, how much you spent altogether?
We got our tickets for like $20, $22 a piece. I remember that.
Right.
Yeah. And they were decent seats. They were upstairs, but they were good seats. It's a nice stadium. Yeah, I mean, Cardinal
$22 for a sporting event. Then where can you go to see a professional sport for $22?
Got my Rangers Coyotes tickets for the same price.
Wow. I heard that out there in Arizona, there. What's the big town out there? Not Phoenix.
Glendale?
Well, I'll have to get up to check my.
Or the Tucson.
No, I've been to Tucson. It's fucking hot. It's hot in Arizona, apparently everywhere. But I heard that it's one of the better places to live now. That it's got cheap real estate. Real estate's very cheap there, and it's going up. Is that the case?
Well, yeah. I mean, there was a severe housing market crash here, but now there's. I was reading an article yesterday. Now, the rental market is booming. It's getting harder and harder to find a place to rent because everybody that had a house out here got foreclosed on. Now they're just, you know, they can't get another mortgage, so they're just looking for a place to rent. And Tucson sucks. I'll agree with Tracy. That is, oh, what a dump. That's the hind end of space right there.
Well, I went to the movie studios. I didn't like going to Tucson.
Oh, you went to Tombstone.
Yeah, with the Tombstone, the whole bit.
Gotcha. Yeah, I wouldn't live in Tucson. Not for free ice cream. So, Flagstaff's nice. Mr. French mentioned Flagstaff. It's beautiful. That's when you get 50 miles north of the Phoenix, the valley here, in any direction, it's really beautiful. I mean, it's nice. It's much cooler. Mountains, green, lakes, the whole bit. You'd never know you're in Arizona.
I've been to the different parts. I've been to Scottsdale. That was really nice.
Yeah, Scottsdale's nice.
Flagstaff, I don't think I was at. What's the one that has the mall? Like a big-ass mall. Is that in Scottsdale?
Well, there's malls everywhere. There's Arizona Mills. That's in Tempe. If that's the one, that's a big mall.
I'll have to go back in my record books. I did my Arizona tour. So the Cardinals actually won that game, right?
They held off. Seahawks were driving late and got all the way down to the, I think about the 10-yard line, and the Cardinals held them off. All the nurses were running in my, because I was one of the only guys in the heart unit for whatever, I was one of the only people watching the football game, so they kept running in my room, you know, coming up with excuses to come into my room so they could see the score. But none of them would give me sponge baths. The tech that was coming in, she kept coming in to take my blood pressure, right? She comes in Monday morning at about 8 o'clock, right after my wife had gotten up to the hospital room. And she says to me, she says, "Do you want to take a shower?" And I said, "I'd love to. Can you come back in a half an hour? I'll get rid of my wife." This lady, she turned beet red, and she just starts laughing. And then she says, "I guess you'll have to wait till you get home." I said, "Okay, I'll give you my address."
You have good luck. At least you get a nurse, a female nurse. When I was in ICU for my ulcer, I got a male nurse, right? And in ICU,
I love this story.
And, you know, you can't do anything when you're ICU. You can't wash yourself. You can't. They got to do like a sponge bath.
Right.
And now listen, there's nothing wrong with being gay, but being gay around me is a little bit.
Remember, it's only gay if you push back. Remember.
So this guy is like, I'm uncomfortable with him washing me. And then I'm fidgeting. And then he goes, "I swear to God," he says this to me. He goes, "Do you want me to do your jewels too?" Like, dude, I'm okay, bro. I'm okay. Oh, man. I couldn't believe it that this guy actually said,
"Excuse me while I whip this out."
"Can I do your jewels too?" I mean, dude, give me a break. I got healthy quick. Wait to get out of there.
It was all very queer. But queer things were yet to come.
That's in Stony Brook Coaster, so you better watch out. That guy might be there if you wind up there. I hope you don't. So, all right. So now that we're going to exchange MASH unit stories. Yeah, so that you were watching it with them and this and that.
Yeah.
You got it's going to be an interesting week. I think Giants will be, it's going to be a test, and the Jets, it's going to be a test. Now, if the Giants somehow go 0-2, will there be a an uproar in Giant Nation? Because I felt that Giant Nation was a little bit kind of quiet this week after the loss to Dallas. I think it took some wind out of them. You know, the post, you talked about it before the show, that perhaps the Giants are suffering from some Super Bowl, you know, kind of a letdown, like a hangover.
A hangover, yeah. Definitely. You know, you could see their emotion wasn't there, which to me, you know, first game of the season, you unveil your trophy Wednesday night, you know, for Wednesday night football. Your biggest division rival, full crowd. There's no excuse to not to be as flat as they were. There was no excuse for it. The nice thing is that with Eli, you know, you're never out of the game. And even down 14 points, you know, they were down 14, I think, with about 6 minutes to go. And you knew it wasn't over yet, but, you know, there's only so many times he could pull that rabbit out of the hat, too, you know. And, you know, then they scored, but then they let Dallas come right back down the field and get a couple of first downs, and that was it. Game, you know, the Dallas was able to run out the clock. So.
Right.
So, all right, listen, Costa, we're going to let you go. Eddie and I are going to make our lead pipe cinch picks of the week, and then we'll catch you guys sometime next week. Take care, Costa.
All right, bye-bye.
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 Bye.
Bye. You're a naughty boy, Jim. That was my favorite.
Nah. He's funny. So, all right, let's see. We're gonna try something new this week. Eddie and I both have the lines in front of us, the Vegas lines for the week. So Eddie and I are going to give you three picks, and I will write them down as soon as I can find a pen here. Here we go. As my daughter comes in here and takes all my pens. And I'll write down the picks, and we'll see who does better, and we'll keep track as we go along. So, Eddie, you got to pick three games with the, you know, with picking with the spread.
Okay.
Give me your three lead pipes of the week.
I'm going to go with Kansas City getting 3 at Buffalo.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Tampa getting 7 from the Giants.
Oh, he's goading me, folks.
I think it's going to be close. The Giants, without a running game, they gotta prove to me that they can put up some points.
All right.
And I'm not goading you. That would have been a pick even if we were on a neutral, a gender neutral show. And I was going to pick San Francisco, but I can't. Let's see. I'm going to pick. No, I can't pick that. It's just oh so hard. Oh so hard. Okay, I'm going to pick Baltimore getting 2.5 from the Eagles.
All right. Well, I guess how we'll do this is we'll alternate who picks first. That way we can't take each other's picks. I was going to take Baltimore, but I will change my pick. So here's what I'm going to take. Give me the Giants laying 7. I think the Giants win by 10 on Sunday. I'll tell you what. I'm going to take the Jets Jets plus 5.5.
He has seen the light.
I don't know. I don't. Honestly, I don't think the Jets are going to win, but I think it's going to be close. And give me Houston laying 7.
That's a good pick. Houston looks very dominant.
So Eddie takes three underdogs, and I take two favorites. Eddie's got Kansas City plus three, Tampa Bay plus seven, Baltimore plus 2.5. I got the G-Men laying seven, the Jets plus 5.5, and Houston laying seven. Oh, and I'll give you a bonus pick. I like the Packers over the Bears.
Yeah, that might work. I like them a lot, too. Well, that's got a good chance.
Cutter, you'd rather we do straight-up picks? Make a $100 donation.
Yeah, donate, and we'll do anything you want.
This isn't Casey Kasem if we don't take requests.
Exactly. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. So
good,
we'll come back next week after earlier in the week, maybe next week.
Yeah.
I think Friday nights is difficult for everybody, so we will try it during the week.
And for Chris to meet, I'll be doing a hockey card show on the actual scheduled time. The last couple of weeks, I haven't been. I've been forgetting about it. That I've set it up. So I will be back with the Hockey Card Show, Hockey Card Night Live.
Oh, okay. There's a Hockey Card Show next week, Wednesday?
Yeah. No, it's going to be on Monday.
Okay, so Monday's Hockey Card, so maybe we'll come back Tuesday with this?
Yes.
All right. Sounds good. Have a nice weekend, everybody. Ed?
Yeah.
This was fun, as always.
Yes, always fun. And you sound much better when you're doing Blog Talk Radio.
Must be. It rejuvenates me.
Oh, okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.